Happy Liberation Day, America.
An old-fashioned term that we use, groceries. I used it on the campaign. It's such an old-fashioned term, but a beautiful term, groceries. It sort of says a bag with different things in it. Groceries went through the roof. And I campaigned on that. I talked about the word groceries for a lot.
Oof. I try my best not to get political on this podcast, but it's not necessarily confidence-inducing when the man who's almost single-handedly upending the global trade balance that has brought the United States unprecedented generational prosperity seems to be fixated on the word groceries. But nevertheless, here we are, on the verge of major disruptions coming for both American consumers and America trading partners. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the LA Local for April 2nd, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your value-added host, Jonathan Service, hitting you with accessible humor about value-added taxes, of course. On today's local, it's all about the price of doing business, whether it's trading with the United States or, and we'll get to this story a little later on, building new housing in California. And that story coming up at the end of today's podcast is a doozy. Why is it 2.5 times more expensive to build an apartment unit in the Golden State than in Texas? More on that later. But let's start with Trump tariffs. A lot of them. On a lot of countries. Today, President Trump imposed a 10% tariff on all countries that trade with the United States. But trading partners like China, Japan, and the European Union will face rates 2 and 3 times as high. Almost every economist we heard from here at KNX today seems to agree that in the short term, these tariffs could do extensive harm to the American economy. Business consultant and supply chain expert Kim Reuter explained how.
The saddest thing about this is that the products are going to be the most hit. The things that we import the most are cheap products. And so those are going to hit our lower income families who are already struggling. We're also not looking at what the long-term effects are going to happen. So retailers like Walmart and Target and Amazon and other companies that rely on a lot of imports from China may try to absorb some of these tariffs to keep their prices competitive. Well, guess what? Now they're not as profitable. So now they're going to have to lay off workforces and make reductions in their own spending as a corporation. So while we hope that we move manufacturing into the United States, we may be looking to 3 to 5 years of pain.
So what is Trump's rationale here? What is the long-term gain the administration hopes to get from the almost guaranteed short-term pain? We put that question to Claire Reed, who served as Assistant U.S. Trade Representative for China Affairs in the Obama administration.
I see this, these big tariffs, as sort of having two different rationales. One of them is there's a group inside the White House that just wants everything to come back to the United States. Now, is that realistic? Many people say no, or say that the time frame for anything to get repatriated to the United States is very long, and it will be much more expensive. So you will have, you know, depressing effects on the U.S. economy. It's more expensive, and consumers have to pay more, and the economy can't grow as fast, and, you know, there aren't as many jobs, et cetera. So there's a lot of economic modeling about, you know, what's feasible or not. Another theory would be that there are particular economic policies and trade measures in place in those economies that are not great. And in order to incentivize a more balanced level playing field, we need to put pressure on these smaller players so they come in and promise that they're going to drop tariffs and they're going to clean up their act, and then we'll be happier.
This is a huge gamble. Even if you wholeheartedly believe President Trump's argument that the United States has been treated very unfairly in global trade, where are we all likely to first feel the impacts? KNX producer James Tuck talked with supermarket consultant, remember those groceries, Phil Lempert, who says the sticker shocks will come fast and furious in your local grocery store.
It's going to be a huge impact, and I don't even think it's going to take a month, especially in certain categories like fruits and vegetables that we get from Mexico. You know, 51% of our fresh fruit in this country comes from Mexico. 69% of our fresh vegetables come from Mexico. And keep in mind, they have a short shelf life. So it could take a week. It could take 2 weeks. And the other thing that I'm afraid of is, frankly, that there are going to be retailers out there that are going to be opportunistic, and even even before they have to pay higher prices, they're going to start raising prices. So for us going into the supermarket, I don't care whether it's in the produce department, whether it's in the seafood department, whether it's in the beer department or the alcohol department, we're going to be paying more.
Say, you know, there must be, so again, a sort of rough calculation on this. When you go into your local grocery store, or your local sort of chain supermarket, how much of the stuff in there is U.S. produced?
I would say, and again, it depends on the category, but I would say today it's probably around 40% of all goods are domestically made. And keep in mind that there's other ingredients that we have to import for our frozen foods. For example, 90% of all the garlic in the world comes from China. Well, garlic is a major ingredient in a lot of frozen foods to add flavor. So we're going to have an impact there. You know, so when we look at spices that are coming from around the world, because we really grow very few spices here, that's going to have an impact. Rice is going to have an impact.
Are we talking about, 5% on average food prices, 10%? I mean, again, it really, really varies because, you know, this is so particular because there'll be things that might not go up at all. But just generally, doing your weekly grocery shop, I mean, how much is that going to go up?
It depends, obviously, on what you buy. I would say on average, you know, for the average consumer, they're going to see increases of anywhere from 10 to 20%. And I'm not including the alcohol that Trump is saying that, you know, alcohol from the EU is going to go up, you know, 200% in with a tariff, which is absolutely absurd. So just our day-to-day groceries, we're going to see increases of between 10 and 20%.
And another way to look at this would be, you know, you've been talking about inflation for the last 2 or 3 years. We're going to see greater inflation because of this than we did because of all the other problems we had. Is that right?
That's totally correct. And also, besides just higher prices, I think we're also going to see some shortages of goods that are not going to be brought into the country, number one. And number two, for a lot of the supermarkets, and again, supermarkets work on anywhere between 1.5% and 2.5% net profit, they can't absorb anything. So I think we're going to see some empty shelves. I think we're going to see less choice in the store, especially as it relates to, you know, categories like olive oil. Where olive oil, yes, we do produce some domestically here in California, but most of it's imported, whether it's from Italy or Tunisia or Spain or Greece. And olive oil has gone up enormously in price in the past 2 or 3 years. Expect even higher prices.
All right. Well, after all of this hopeful economic news, I, for one, need a break. Let's go take care of some business quickly, and then we'll be right back with our final story of the day. Why is it so damn expensive to build housing in California? It's the LA Local. Be right back. Welcome back to the Hump Day edition of the LA Local. I'm your perplexed host, Jonathan Service. You may remember on yesterday's show, because of course you're a daily listener to the LA Local, right? You're subscribing, you're tuning in every single day. Of course. On yesterday's show, we focused on the messy fight over homeless policies in the city and county of Los Angeles. And in the end, everyone seemed to agree that the only long-term solution to getting more people off the streets and into homes is to build a lot more housing, like as quickly and cheaply as you can. Well, today along comes new research from the RAND Corporation showing that California is pretty awful at efficiently building the housing we so desperately need. I talked about it with RAND economist and study author Jason Ward. All right, so I'll admit it out of the box. I'm a California native, lived in the northern part of the state, live in the southern part of the state, and I'm a California homer. So it is depressing, and it is a bit of a sobering analysis that Texas is so much more efficient and apparently effective at building new housing units than California is. And your research really drives home that point. Talk about the cost differences and the root reasons for those cost differences in getting a housing unit built in California versus Texas.
Yeah. So, you know, the kind of headline takeaways from this report we just released is that they're, you know, the sort of average cost difference to build a sort of standard market rate apartment in California is between, depending on how you measure it, by square foot basis or a per unit basis, it's between about 2.3 and 2.8 times the cost to build the same apartment in California. And these cost differences are even larger for publicly subsidized affordable apartment construction in California, which is something that state and local governments have spent literally billions of dollars on in the last half decade or so. So these are profound cost differences. Drivers of these cost differences, average labor differences across construction workforces don't seem to explain much of the difference in these production costs. We do find that there's a pretty substantial role for California's kind of legendarily high impact and municipal development fees, which average between about 25 and 40 times the amount of fees that are charged on a typical apartment in Texas, which is around maybe $1,000, while in California, the average is between, say, $20,000 and $40,000 across different large metro areas. We also find that things like architectural and engineering fees are 2 to 4 times in California the cost that they average in Texas.
Okay, so who's to blame for, A, those fees that drive up the cost? I mean, is that a state, a county, or city government issue, or do all three government entities within California all kind of have their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak, in collecting various fees from builders? And in the slow timing of all of this, I imagine a lot of that is because of environmental reviews, permitting. So who's holding it up?
Yeah. So with respect to fees, these are typically, you know, decisions made by local governments. I think the origin of California's kind of remarkably high development fees can be traced pretty directly back to Proposition 13, which substantially limited the ability of local governments to, vary the property tax rate. Prior to Prop 13, it was much more common for local governments to, you know, simply use a broad property tax collection to fund the kind of infrastructure you need to support housing production. So things like streets, sewers, you know, municipal electrical service, even schools and things like this. Immediately in the aftermath of Proposition 13, there's some research showing that these fees tended to shoot up across the state to varying degrees, and they've only really grown since. And what's happened is that municipal governments have just become, you know, profoundly reliant on these fees to pay for infrastructure that really serves an entire community in some sense, right? So what's happened is that all the costs of kind of maintaining community infrastructure, or at least a lot of it, has been sort of offloaded to each new housing unit that's produced in California.
Then I was just going to bring up the fires, and could there be the silver lining of these immense tragedies is that it kind of gives a kick in the pants to everybody who wants to speed up the process and almost act as a bit of a like a laboratory, if nothing else, about what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just depends on what kind of efforts succeed. I think you're right that the wildfires are going to provide a really useful view of what can be done if people really want things to change.
So there you have it, your feel-good, warm and fuzzy, overly optimistic edition of the LA Local for Wednesday, April 2nd. The LA Local is sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Taking a day off tomorrow to go learn more about groceries, but we'll be back on Friday. Until then, get trading, people.